My understanding is that in New York there was actually a sample of people who have agreed to survey, to assessment beforehand, right?
Right.
And that was not the case in Louisiana.
Right.
So probably that is the key difference. And I'm just thinking, you know, if that has happened in New Orleans, that there was a panel already there, the same thing would be, actually the internet would even be more helpful
right.
with people dislocated so far, because they could be easily accessed to Alaska or somewhere
right.
else.
Right, and the reason why the existing internet panels didn't work for that is they didn't have enough people from New Orleans in the sample. The only reason we could get a good estimate in New York from that pre-existing sample was New York is such a large place. There were enough New Yorkers in the panel to do that. But you're right. Had there been an existing thing, that could have worked. It could have worked nicely, actually, there.
Thank you. Could one of the three of us come up here?
Yeah, and, okay.
I have a question while we're doing that, because it struck me along the lines of the previous question that actually, while the loss of almost total loss of infrastructure in New Orleans, which is still pretty much the case, unfortunately, would certainly limit the use of the internet in the acute aftermath, I would actually think that the New Orleans diaspora would be accessible by the internet, that the internet would be very helpful in following.
All right, no, that's an excellent point. I think of it as not having been useful because the panel that we have, generally speaking,
here,
if you had apparently this is not working.
Hello.
My thinking about that has been tainted by the fact that the sample we had didn't have enough people in New Orleans in it. But had there been such a sample, it would have been a good answer to that question.
Yes, Alain.
Dr. Schlinger, you mentioned that there are four epidemiological studies published on 9/11. And you mentioned, as is the case for epidemiological studies, that they have a probabilistic sample. Could you you mentioned that they that's typically very difficult to do with the internet. Could you expand on how this can be achieved? I think you mentioned that some business, or I don't know who, kind of already has developed a group of respondents or participants that to whom a survey can be sent. But could you expand on how one can develop a probabilistic sample using the internet?
Of those four studies, two of them use random digit dialing telephone. So that's a method can be implemented quickly, probably not as quickly as internet, but they were effective in that instance. The internet panel that Knowledge Networks has, they started off with the goal of a continuous panel of 100,000 households. They haven't quite been able to maintain that, but if you have 100,000 households, you can study a lot of topics in detail that you can't otherwise. But they recruited them by random digit dialing and offered them internet access and some other in exchange for participating in a brief survey a couple times a month. So that panel is still in existence. There is a new panel being developed by someone else that is recruiting participants by in-person survey. That is, they're sending an interviewer out to their house to set up their computer equipment and et cetera to participate. The reason they're going to that extreme is probably most people are aware, the it's difficult to get an accurate response rate in random digit dialing for technical reasons that the response rate when you send an interviewer to knock on the door is substantially higher. Newer panel will be in-person recruited, but otherwise act as pretty much. That's how one gets probability samples.
Are there other questions? I might have a comment while people are thinking about questions, that probability sampling is important, but as Dr. Schlanger has pointed out, it's got its limitations. There are no unbiased samples. I mean, you do it, and you know, but for example, you know, people that would want somebody to come out and set up their internet are people who don't have it, and they're different from the ones who do. The sample that I was reporting on was not a probability sample, and you can't use a sample like that to make general statements about the prevalence of PTSD or other symptoms, but if you follow them, for example, you can make statements about the ability of baseline variables to predict outcome at a later time. And I think one thing that internet research has done that has really changed the story is we used to have either very small clinical studies with convenience samples, which have their biases, or these very large epi studies. And now the internet lets you do something that's in between. You can have huge convenience samples that you never could have gotten with other kinds of research. And I think we need to sort of figure out where those kinds of samples and studies belong in what we know and our methodology, because as Dr. Schlanger pointed out, you know, when the trauma happens, you don't want to, and believe me, I have had plenty of frustration going through all the review processes, trying to get a trauma study going during that critical period of days after the traumatic event, when there's a whole kind of information that will be lost no matter how good your sampling or other things are if you start it 2 months later. And so the idea of finding a different way of understanding and utilizing the internet for a different kind of research with very large samples and great immediacy, I think, is a challenge.
Your point about longitudinal assessment is a good one, which I'll be talking about on Saturday. The ability to have longitudinal assessment in an internet panel, because it's both easy and it's inexpensive, having those assessments over time offsets to a large degree, or to a substantial degree, the problem of. So it's quite a good compromise, I think, for to those problems.
Thanks.
Yes.
Hi, this has been very helpful, very interesting. I've now done two studies trying to reach pregnant women immediately following a disaster, and have found that extremely difficult to do quickly. And wondering if you've got any advice on if it's possible to set things up way in advance, just waiting for the event to happen, and then implement something that is already set up, both technically but also in terms of IRB approval. Can one get approval for studying an event that hasn't happened yet?
I would say that would probably be a challenge for most IRBs. You could, if you could know that there's a hurricane coming next week, that might help, you know. But otherwise, because the events are so unpredictable, it's, you know, which set of pregnant women are you appropriate for the study is the problem.
Well, I chair one of our IRBs, so we deal with this a fair amount. I think, you know, even with a standard clinical trial, you don't know exactly who is going to be enrolled in the trial. You know what the criteria will be and what you'll tell them and all that. I'd say the bigger problems with internet research are firewalls and confidentiality, and sometimes you can actually trade off unique identifiers for a much reduced level of scrutiny about the screening and consent process. I think it would be possible to have an IRB review in advance the kind of protocol you would like to do if some event occurred. And what we found is the most difficult issue is the more you want to have the ability to do follow-up and therefore retain personal identification, the stricter the IRB is going to be about what you do, particularly because of the risks of loss of confidentiality in the Internet. So you've got to take a lot of precautions about the way you manage the data you collect. But it's difficult, but it's not impossible. I would say, one other thought I have about your question is, one other thing I would do is, if you haven't collected your sample of pregnant women in advance, I would, try and go to sites that pregnant women would use for getting about the trauma, or that would address particular needs and problems they would have about safety or nutrition or clean water or whatever after a traumatic event, and see if you can get people who would sign on because they're pregnant, not necessarily because they're worried about trauma, and then get to people that way. There are a lot of these special interest sites that can be very valuable sources of contact. Okay, do you have any final comments or thoughts?
We were very lucky that we had a longitudinal study in process, and we'd taken a baseline measure, and the Canberra bushfires came, and we actually got through ethics very quickly and introduced a screening test into sea trauma, and were able to identify who lived in those areas of Canberra that had been affected. So that was really, really, sometimes you get lucky, I guess. You've got 7,500 people and you just have to have a baseline measures on them.
They got unlucky, you got lucky. Okay, all right, well, thank you very much. I think it's time for our coffee break. Do it. If you lose it, I win. If you go.